This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's next?
I'm ready to fire everyone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
As the Eastern Conference Championship belongs to the Heat. 103-84 the final.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NBA on ESPN analyst Doris Burke. Coming up, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Rolling Stone's chief television critic, Alan Sepinwall. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Great chat with Doris Burke in hour number one about the NBA Eastern Conference Finals that ended last night in Boston. The Celtics gave it a ride, almost had the greatest comeback in the history of sports in basketball, baseball, and football.
I mean, we can't win everything.
In that manner, I understand. I understand.
Gotta let everyone else
I get it.
Case.
I get it. And when you say we, you were great in all those other comebacks. You were awesome.
Right.
You were incredible. Your contributions were legendary. Just Google it. Chris Brockman's contributions. Alan Sepinwall, the television critic, chief TV critic of Rolling Stone, will join us in hour number three to talk about the Succession finale. And, you know, one body blow after another. Ted Lasso, the final one is tonight. So, going to put the kids to bed early and hope they don't get up. Until tomorrow morning.
Of course. Obviously.
Yes. Come on. What do you think I am, Logan Roy? All right. Boar on the floor, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is basically what we're saying. But joining us right now on our program is the great pro football talk creator and the host of PFT Live on Peacock, which you can see, by the way, right here on Roku. He is none other than Mike Florio. How are you been, Mike?
Great, Rich. How are you?
I'm still quite honestly stunned from your reporting over the weekend and last week about the Raiders and Jimmy Garoppolo's foot. So is it really the case that they signed Garoppolo and he fails his physical and they delay the press conference because they got to figure out the lawyering to get the Raiders off the hook for his money if he can't answer the bell due to this foot surgery, and that's their quarterback plan going into 2023. Did I read all that right, Mike?
Yeah, you're right. And we need to back that up a step.
Please.
This is one of those things that can arise when you've got that 52-hour negotiating window, the legal tampering period, as some call it. Because what happens, Rich, the moment the clock strikes 12 Eastern on that Monday of the week of the first league year, which is looming at 4 p.m. Eastern that Wednesday, when it hits 12 on Monday, it's open season on free agents, and teams start calling agents, and people already have a pretty good idea of who's going to be interested in whom, but that's when it becomes fast and furious, and that's when you will have a team call an agent and say, we want to sign your guy, here's the contract, we need to know now, because if we don't get your guy, we're moving on to the next guy. And they strike deals fairly quickly, and on that day this year, Monday the 13th of March, the Raiders and Don Yee, who represents Jimmy Garoppolo, had a deal that was leaked to the media within 2 hours after the legal tampering period started. So I can only assume, based upon the application of common sense, of which I have at least a little bit, that because the Raiders had agreed to give an $11.25 million signing bonus that went away completely and got pushed into base salary that he'll never get if he doesn't pass the physical, I can only assume that the Raiders were led to believe that he was fine when they made that commitment. So he shows up a few days later for his physical. The media is assembled in the press room for the press conference, and eventually everybody gets sent home. And, of course, we get the nothing to see here from the team and from Garoppolo himself the next day when it was all said and done. He poo-pooed it. He said there was nothing, you know, just some language we needed to work out. No, it was a significant situation where he failed the physical and they needed to rework the contract to the point where he got no money on the way through the door. And we know how important the signing bonus is. It's the most important piece. It's cash in hand. It's the money you get for putting your name on a piece of paper. He got zero for that. He has to get this foot healed. He had surgery on it. I don't know why he didn't have surgery back when it happened. He had to get surgery in March after he signed, and now we wait for him to rehab and recover. And because it's him, of all the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, the fact that it's the guy who's the most injury-prone makes it seem like a bigger deal. And then you got Tommy hovering, which adds a little spice to it. But It really is amazing. And it all happened because this all came to light last week. And, you know, it was a slow weekend. And I started thinking about and reflecting on what had happened with Garoppolo back in March. It's like, well, I wonder if anybody's looked at the contract. So, you know, I made a couple calls and pulled a couple strings and got the contract. It's like, oh, my God. This was a big deal, as evidenced by the fact that they're not paying him a signing bonus, and they have this full-page waiver that makes it clear, when you look at the rest of the contract, if he doesn't pass a physical, he's never playing for that team, and he's never getting paid a penny.
So let's just take it again one step at a time here. So they say, come on in, Jimmy. They sign him. He's physical. He fails it. Everyone's just like, go back to your homes. That he failed his physical right before the press conference, or that came back from the doctor's office? I mean, is that really what happened on this front?
I mean, yeah, that's how it plays out, because these deals get done. When you're talking about guys changing teams, you've got that 52-hour window where their agents can talk to the teams and negotiate. But you can't have visits. You can't even talk to the player. The Chiefs once lost a third-round pick plus for talking to Jeremy Maclin instead of his agent during that 52-hour window in one of the occasions where the NFL decided to enforce the tampering policy. But we know tampering happens all the time. Still, the last thing you can do is bring the guy in and give him a physical before you strike this deal. This is the problem. This is one of the flaws in this process. They strike the deal under the assumption that everything's fine. They bring him in to have the physical, the signing ceremony, the press conference. Everybody's happy. Everything's great. What's the delay? What's the holdup? What do you mean go home and come back tomorrow? And it was all about the failure of the physical and the heavy lifting they had to do to change the contract, to add the waiver, and to deal with the fact that the Raiders' position became, we're not giving this guy a penny. And look, if this all does go sideways for the Raiders, think of what else they might have done if they had known. You get caught up in that frenzy. We got to get our guy. We want Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they could have kept Jared Stidham. They could have gone after Sam Darnold. They could have gone after Baker Mayfield. They could have done all sorts of stuff. But they committed to Garoppolo, and all the other ships sailed away.
So what does the contract say? What does the new language say, that now that you've seen it?
Well, it's a full addendum, coincidentally and appropriately, addendum G to the Garoppolo contract. It basically says, in layman's terms, he has to pass a physical, specifically on the condition in his foot, in order to ever get paid. He can be cut if he fails that physical, and they specify the injury. It's not just a blanket. If you show up with an injury, we can not pay you. It has to be tied to that foot injury he suffered last year, and there's a window where it's still in existence. There are triggers on when it goes away. If he's on the 53-man roster, I think if he starts at least one game, I think that's when the waiver goes away. But they're protecting themselves against the possibility he's never going to be able to play for them and that he's never going to pass the physical. Now, once he comes back and plays, different story. But this is all, we're not doing anything until we know this guy is fully healed and fully recovered. That's when this contract kicks in, and he hasn't passed the physical yet. And look, we assume he will.
Yeah, but, sure.
I mean, how many times do we have supposedly successful surgery that goes sideways in the NFL? Every surgery is a success, and every player is well ahead of schedule on rehab until he's not. So it's just something to keep an eye on. And the fact that it's Garoppolo, I think, just gives it the extra intrigue.
Well, I mean, it's on top. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's just a wild scenario at the quarterback position to see in 2023, when we see every team out there trying to not only get their starter solidified, but their entire depth chart solidified based on what we saw from the San Francisco 49ers last year. You better have your head on a swivel if you're a third string quarterback this year, right? I mean, more than ever before. And their plan was to take Derek Carr and send him home for Christmas and then go into the offseason. And then with all the options on the table, Lamar Jackson was available. Aaron Rodgers, we all thought maybe they can go in his direction too, right? I mean, there was so much on the table. They go for Jimmy Garoppolo, who winds up needing foot surgery to the point where they create, as you said, Jimmy Addendum G. And now, on top of all of it, you hear Devontae Adams tell The Athletic that he does, quote unquote, we don't see eye to eye on what we think is best for us right now, meaning him in the front office. Now I can get it. You know, we all thought at the time when that came out for The Ringer, it's just, well, they sent my college BFF away, and now I got Jimmy G, and we're thinking, what's he got against Jimmy G? Well, if he knows that the guy's got foot problems, and this is his moment to maybe, you know, do it for the Raiders because of his contract coming up, that makes sense now that he's particularly irate over this situation. Yes? No?
Excellent point. Excellent point. Think about how differently we would view Davante Adams' comments to The Ringer if they emerged today versus 2 weeks ago. Today, you view them in a new light. Today, you get it. Not only did they sign a guy who isn't all that big at throwing the football outside the numbers to a guy like Davante Adams, but he's damaged goods, and they don't know when he's not going to be damaged goods, and that was plan A. That was their plan A. Not trying to figure out how to way to keep Jared Stidham around, not pursuing one of the other available free agents, not pursuing someone who is available via trade, not going after Aaron Rodgers, who Davante Adams wanted them to pursue. And look, once this went sideways, okay, it's too late for Mayfield and Darnold and Andy Dalton and other free agents. They could have, in theory, gotten into the Aaron Rodgers discussion, but by then that ship was sailing. And really, does Aaron Rodgers want to be perceived as plan B for Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't think so. So it all created a mess, and that's why, and this was a point Chris Sims made earlier today on PFT Live that I hadn't considered. At some level, the Raiders have to be very pissed off at Don Yee and or Jimmy Garoppolo for not being straight with them about what was really going on with the foot. And maybe they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe. Let's at least account for the possibility that it was all an innocent sitcom-style misunderstanding. Regardless, the Raiders made the commitment to Garoppolo, and by the time they realized there was a problem, it was too late to do anything about it at the most important position on the field.
So I don't understand, Mike, when people are saying if it doesn't work out with Jimmy G, one of the owners will come out and play, because I don't think Mark Davis says, well, hold on a minute, I'm being told Tom Brady was the Tommy you referred to earlier. What's the deal? Has he become a minority owner of the Raiders? Paperwork in? Owners have to approve? Like, where does that actually currently stand?
Deal is struck. Now at least 24 of the owners have to approve.
Right.
And the wrinkle that I've seen in multiple reports, which I wasn't aware of, this idea that if he's an owner and he wants to play, there must be a unanimous approval by all teams, 32-0. And I thought it was kind of stupid and short-sighted, because it's good for business to have Tom Brady on the field. Let's look the other way on any concerns we'd have.
But yeah, but I've,
the weekend.
Let me just jump in,
like,
though.
Having an extra guy on the roster.
If I'm an AFC West owner, I'm like, no, I don't think that's good for business at all.
Right.
Like, at all.
Well, and think of it this way. We've had teams. Look at the Broncos. The Broncos, when they had that COVID situation where they had to go with Kendall Hinton, the receiver and quarterback, because everybody got knocked out, everybody was a close contact or whatever it was, they broke the rules, whatever it was, they didn't have a quarterback. They wanted to make one or two of their assistant coaches quarterbacks. And the rule is you can't do it. You just can't do it, because these are people who have access to practice. They have access to meetings. They have access to playbooks. They have access to everything. It's unfair to take somebody who is in this bubble of being around the team but not really on the team and putting them on the 53-man roster. It's like having a 54th guy on your roster. That's why teams would oppose it. So once this goes through, he's done. I would be stunned. Unless he sells his interest so he can come back and play, he's done. And I think he knows enough now, Rich, that if he has any interest in playing, you just press pause on finalizing the acquisition of whatever piece of the Raiders he's going to buy, and you do it next year or whenever you know you're never going to play again. I think that he's done.
Yeah, he is.
I've had somebody who is in a pretty good position to know his overall mindset tell me a few weeks back. He's done, but he likes it when this stuff comes out. He likes the discussion. He likes the intrigue. He likes the conversation. He likes being the center of attention, which I guess is somewhat refreshing to know that underneath all that robotic manicured stuff, there's a real boy.
Like he's Pinocchio? No, I mean, seriously, though, I think he's done, and I think he just wants to keep options open, but this is not an option. I don't think quarterbacking the Raiders, in his mind, is an option. And the only spot where he might even think for 2 seconds about it, the way it's been explained to me as well, from probably the same people you're talking to, although I wouldn't know, is Miami, but that's just all, you know, conjecture and speculation. I just can't believe the Raiders, knowing all of this, went into the draft and you know, Aiden O'Connell, they chose him out of Purdue. I mean, they didn't address it. I mean, Tyree Wilson is a terrific player. I guess this shows you what they thought of Will Levis too. I don't understand any of this. I just don't. And it's just really, really risky, incredibly risky. And there's Brian Hoyer is your safety net, who clearly anybody associated with the Patriots or their organization can't quit. You know, it's nuts to me. This whole thing, my jaw was on the floor when I read your report, Mike, honestly.
I mean, the only good news for the Raiders, Rich, is they potentially avoid ever paying Garoppolo anything.
Maybe.
If it doesn't work out, okay, great, you didn't pay him the money. Who's your quarterback? That's the bigger issue. And I think that's why it stayed secret for more than 2 months. Usually when something gets leaked, a party to the transaction wants it to be out there because they're proud of what happened. In this case, there's no one proud of what happened. Garoppolo had to give up his signing bonus. The Raiders are in a spot where they may never have Garoppolo, and their plan B is Brian Hoyer and Aiden O'Connell. That's why it didn't come to light, because there was no motivation for anyone involved in this to say to the world, hey, look at what we did.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last one for you. Perfect guy to have on as this news is breaking right now, because you not only know football, but you also know agenting and all that. Clutch Sports just signed DeAndre Hopkins. What do you think that means, as Hopkins is no longer representing himself, and where things stand on that scenario that dropped into the football laps on Memorial Day Friday?
Well, Rich, that dovetails with things we'd been hearing, because Hopkins had been representing himself. And what that means for a lot of the guys who represent themselves is they have somebody who isn't certified by the NFL Players Association who is actually doing the representing for them. And the NFL has been sensitive to that in recent months. We had the Lamar Jackson, Ken Francis memo that went out. Don't talk to Ken Francis, who we reported was calling around to teams to try to get teams interested in making a run at Lamar Jackson via the offer sheet process under the franchise tag. Last year, it was St. Omni, the notorious St. Omni, who was reportedly calling teams to try to get someone to trade for Roquan Smith when he was unhappy with the Bears. And the St. Omni name has been percolating around with DeAndre Hopkins to the point where I was told the teams are very leery about dealing with him. And one of the things that happens when guys represent themselves, they set up dummy email accounts where they pretend to be themselves communicating with the team, but it's this off-the-books agent who uses the email account. Teams, I'm told multiple teams, would only talk directly to DeAndre Hopkins and not email him because of this practice of using the burner account. So he wisely hires an agent, cuts out any of these potential complications as he now embarks on what's not going to be an easy negotiation, because he's going to want to get paid, and the teams that are out there that want him are not going to want to give him the kind of market value money he may be looking for. But at least, there's going to be a free flow of communication between teams and the agents while they try to figure out the next move.
All right, so now that those decks have been cleared, who do you think is in on this conversation? What do you got?
I think the Bills and the Chiefs are the two teams to watch now. And I think they always have been. They're the two teams. Albert Breer reported had spoken to the Cardinals before the draft, and it was the Odell Beckham $15 million fully guaranteed for 1 year that sent things sideways, because that has ripple effects on the market and what guys think they're worth. I mean, teams haven't been willing to trade for the salary, $19 million plus, so he becomes a free agent, and they now have to decide, do we want this guy? And I think the other thing that makes it very advantageous for the player and for his new agent, if you go to the Chiefs, not only do the Chiefs benefit, but the Bills don't get him. If you go to the Bills benefit and the Chiefs don't get him. There's extra value in that can be leveraged to get the best possible deal, because you are helping yourself and you're hurting one of your top contenders for the same prize everybody's trying to get. And if Hopkins plays it right, he could end up getting maybe more than he otherwise would have gotten.
And then in terms of the Cardinals, before I let you go, Mike, I always say here, you know, it's really tough for NFL teams to tank, because you can just remove capital or remove terrific players from a roster. There's always going to be grown-ass men that pad up and helmet up and cleat up every single playing week who who try their hardest. Nobody's ever going to tell a guy in the NFL, you know, don't try as hard today and we'll take care of you, because they don't trust that situation. They only trust their own level of play. They could turn out to be, say, Shaq Barrett, right? You make your most and then you hit it. So all that said, this week, June 1 is an important date, and I'd love for you to explain what the Cardinals are going to do with the cap number, with what they are apparently are going to do by releasing DeAndre Hopkins, who hasn't technically been released as of this conversation. Can you walk us through what that decision looks like and what it may actually portend?
As it can, there's a $22.6 million total dead money charge that applies to Hopkins for money previously paid to him. Now, if they cut him today, and it's expected they'll cut him today, by rule, the full $22.6 million hits the 2023 salary cap. If they wait until Friday to cut him, $11.3 million hits this year, $11.3 million gets pushed to next year. They've decided to take the full cap charge this year, basically taking away $11.3 million they could have worked with this year if they wanted to just keep it around. And you don't have to use it. You cannot use it and roll it over to next year. It used to be cumbersome to roll over cap money. It's easy now. You snap your fingers, you flip a switch, and the money rolls over to next year. And by taking that $11.3 million off the table, cutting him today, the message is, and I know Cardinals fans don't want to hear it because they want to think their team's going to be as good as it can be this year. The message is, we don't care. We're not going to keep that $11.3 million around to possibly spend on a player who makes us better this year, because we're not interested in that. We're interested in it next year. This year, we're going to take our lumps. This year, we're going to clear the books. This year, we'll take the cap charge. Next year, we'll have the money. Even though they could have had it next year anyway if they didn't spend it. But here's the key, Rich. If somebody becomes available that would be great for the Cardinals, that we aren't expecting, that we aren't thinking about, and they're up against the cap, well, it's an easy reason not to go after them. We don't have the cap space. Mm. Well, yeah, you don't have the cap space because you could add an extra $11.3 million this year that you refuse to take. So it's a very subtle, nuanced indication that they don't care about this year and they're going to try to get right next year. And it's probably smart.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at it, but it's still an acknowledgement by the Cardinals that that's where they are.
Well, the smart thing is to do it next year. And then since your quarterback and Kyler Murray isn't healthy enough to play at the outset of this year, and then who knows how it all plays out. And then you tell them, sit back and get ready. You know, there's no reason to bring him back when your team's 1-6, 1-7, 2-6, or anything like that, which is why I said, you know, at the outset of hearing this news about DeAndre Hopkins, if I'm Kyler Murray, I have my head in a swivel that I don't turn into Josh Rosen with Caleb Williams coming out next year.
Right.
No, but I don't want to be accused of being a conspiracy theorist, Mike. You know?
No, you don't want that.
But I'm serious. Like,
don't want that.
You know what
but
I mean?
You know what? There's four other spots in the top five, Rich.
But I'm, in all seriousness, though, I mean, that's the way this thing can play out. In Arizona, no question about it. This thing can play out like that.
Yeah,
right?
And it tracks beautifully. And the only spot where it short circuits is they won't be hiring Cliff Kingsbury to be the coach next year, coming from USC to coach
right?
Caleb Williams at Arizona.
Oh my gosh, just Lincoln Riley. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord. Thanks for the call, Mike. Greatly appreciated. Great stuff on the Raiders, and I can't wait to see it all play out. Let's chat
thanks,
soon.
Mom. Great talking to you.
Right back at you. That's Mike Florio. Everybody check him out at Pro Football Talk. I'm serious, man. That's what I said. You got to have your head on a swivel. And if they take the full charge this year, why wouldn't you keep next year's books totally clean? Totally clean. And see if Jonathan Gannon can coach the heck out of whoever the hell is playing, you know, for the Cardinals this year. And good luck. Hoskins, you have the Cardinals schedule? Honestly, because the first few weeks of this year is significant because of that. At Washington is can we already categorize this as a sneaky good game?
Well, no.
Well,
Rich.
Week one.
We don't know anything about Washington.
But that's what I'm talking about. Sam Howell. This could be eventually, who the hell knows? Washington's too talented for this to be the Caleb Williams Bowl. But Colt McCoy versus Sam Howell, week one, somebody's going to be 1-0.
This game will not be featured on Red Zone, not one second.
Yes, it will. New York Giants week two, home for Dallas, at San Francisco, home for Cincinnati, at the Rams, at Seattle, home for Baltimore. So what's what I'm saying?
They're like one and seven.
That's what I'm saying. So if they're 1-7 and 2-6, what are they going to say to Kyler Murray? Come back?
No.
Save the season?
Absolutely.
Or they'll be like, you need to just sit tight.
Hey, Kyler, look, I think you might need a second opinion.
If you're Kyler Murray, do you push to play?
No.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
You absolutely do.
You bet you say I'm ready.
Writing's on the wall.
I'm there
at that
for
point.
My teammates. Yeah, Let's go.
He has guaranteed money. He's fine.
So what?
So
don't
what?
You want to stay?
I get my agent to like start working up
maybe
trades.
Maybe that's it.
Trade calls.
Yeah. Maybe they look
else.
At each other and say,
yeah. By the way, get me to Oakland or Las Vegas.
He can't get to Vegas because Trey Lance will be there, by the way. Because I know all the plans.
That's true.
I've got the script.
You got the script.
But to say, you do have the script.
But that's what I'm saying. First few weeks of this season are huge for the Cardinals. Huge. Because that's a decision that's coming down the pike, and there's no DeAndre Hopkins. So I don't blame them. Take the whole damn cap charge now. Take the whole thing. Because you got to build around Caleb Williams. Or, if you're not a conspiracy theorist like me, I'm in the top five now, as Florio said, then you got to build around Kyler. Because this year ain't it. Is there Buda Baker says he wants the hell out?
This year ain't it.
Exit visas are imminent, to use the Wall Street phrase.
And Houston's not going to be great. They might have the first and second
don't
pick.
Don't sleep on them.
They're going to have picks 1 and 2.
I'm not going there with Houston yet. I need to see what D'Amico Ryans is doing. I need to see what C.J. Stroud looks like. I need to see the rest of that team. I'm not going to go all in on the Texans. They're going to stink, so the Cardinals are going to have great picks. I'm not there. No way. But I'm there more about this situation with the cap charge. It's June 1. That's Thursday.
Yeah.
Man, what happened on Friday with them releasing DeAndre Hopkins and what's happening this week with the June 1st cut is going to affect so many dominoes between now, the season, and then the draft. Holy cow. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Overreaction Tuesday still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move. Hiring for your business can feel harder than hitting a half-court shot with a 7-footer in your face. But thanks to Indeed, hiring top talent just got top-tier easy. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like matching, assessments, and virtual interviews. If you hate waiting, who doesn't? Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed knows when you're growing your business, you've got to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Visit Indeed.com/richpodcast to start hiring now. Find top talent fast. Go to Indeed.com/richpodcast. Indeed.com/richpodcast. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1/4 moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. The Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back on the air, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Overreaction Tuesday, we're about to get to right here on the Rich Eisen Show. But before we do, a conversation we have here every year, maybe twice a year, sometimes three times a year. But I have a very specific opinion on it. So does a gentleman across the way from me.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going, and
so
I thought this yesterday.
And so
when I was
does T.J. Jefferson
my, yard in the third quarter.
Hold on a second. The concept of would you rather have your team that you love and you root for, you're a diehard fan of, would you rather your team lose in a blowout or have a shot and lose in gut-wrenching fashion? But you had a shot and you had your chance. And I would always, I'd rather love and lose than never love at all, is the way I look at it. I'd rather have a shot. I'd rather not be blown out. I'd rather not get swept. So I turn to the guy who says he would rather, knowing the heartbreak, can't handle the heartbreak, can't handle the difficulty of a difficult, gut-wrenching loss, would rather do without it, rather just have it clean and easy. I now turn to you, sir, Chris Brockman.
Yes.
You would rather have gotten swept by the Heat
1,000%
than what ended up happening.
100%.
Come on.
You're telling me ahead of time we're already going to lose.
But you're never going to know that.
No, but you're telling me ahead of time
to know that
you're going to lose. So do you want to lose in game 7 at home, coming all the way back, get your hopes all the way up, just to have your mental health be absolutely destroyed and ruined on a Monday? Or clean sweep, it's over, quick kill, bam, I can go on the rest of my life.
I'm with Chris.
What are you, nuts?
I'm with Chris.
Only a masochist would choose the former. What are you crazy?
But I guess this is
the Yankees.
This is
2004.
Mike, I get it. 2004.
It sucked.
I understand that sucked. But at least the Yankees were up 3-0, and I friggin' loved it, and it was great, and we were relevant, and we're there. But I guess the issue with this conversation is you don't know if you're going to lose. You're hoping that
you win.
But
in the end, when it's over and you lost, you're like,
this
sucks.
But you don't know. You're going
in. Why didn't we just get swept?
But you don't know going into this if you're going to lose. So that's what I'm saying to you. If you wind up losing.
Right, I'd rather have gotten swept.
Not me, man. Game 6, that'd have been so amazing. What an amazing feeling that must feel. Rich. I haven't felt that for an NBA team in years.
They didn't deserve to win Game 6.
But you did win it.
Right, but they didn't deserve it. And so, of course, in Game 7, you could see it coming a mile away.
But the Celtics were up double digits with just 2-something minutes to go. Why didn't you deserve to win it? That would have been a blown loss.
Right, which is what I expected because I watched this team play all year.
I would never want to get swept. I'd want to be in it. I'd want to be in it. Like so
you
Michigan.
You don't want to get swept.
I don't want
but
to.
But if you're going to lose and the alternative is heartbreaking game 7 at home or swept.
But
swept.
But the whole idea, like for instance, I took Coop, as you know, to the Fiesta Bowl this year, and it was a dreadful game. A dreadful game for Michigan. Awful. Awful game, rife with mistakes, ripe for upset that happened, and some terrible officiating that I have to mention, but that went against Michigan. But they made it. They won the Big Ten. They made it there. I would never have not wanted that to happen. You got to be in it to win it, and you got to live and love than having none of that. That's the way I'm viewing it. And you're saying the opposite. Yeah. You'd rather have gotten swept out. Game 4 wasn't a big one. Game 5 wasn't a big win. Game 6 wasn't something that had you won Game 7, you'd be talking about the Derek White put back like it was Dave Roberts stealing a base for the rest of your life. So, you know, how would you want to not have that is my point.
What was it for?
Okay.
You lost, yeah.
Where do you come down on this subject?
You lost.
I forget.
I'm with you.
It depends. I don't think there's one answer for everything. Like, I'll be honest. I was getting migraines watching these playoffs. Like, I didn't feel good. I was too invested. And once my teams were out, I was able to watch basketball with a clear head and not have heart palpitations. So I can understand where he's coming from. Like, if you're going to lose, just get it over with. But as a fan of the team, you want to see them go out there and put out a maximum effort. And I don't think getting swept is a maximum effort.
No, you don't want that.
Take it from someone whose team's got gentlemen
sweat. You're talking about the Celtics after game 3 being
maximum
quitters.
Effort.
You're getting the timeout in your face from Jimmy Butler. You had a shot for an entire week to just stick it to him.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't work out in game 7.
What time do the Celtics play on Thursday?
I get it. I hear you.
That's exactly it.
I hear you. I just don't agree with it.
I think in my younger days, I would totally be on your side.
Okay.
As I've gotten older, happiness matters. Yesterday was the best part of my day was the 6 hours we were at the fair. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the game once. And then I got home and I turned it on. I was like, I don't want to watch this. I immediately shut it off. I don't want to watch.
So did you hang with Cage?
Yeah, we were just, well, he was pretty
adamant. Now you know how I felt.
He was pretty adamant.
Pretty much every Saturday after Thanksgiving for half a year.
When the season started last year for Michigan.
With Michigan and Ohio State.
And I said to you, hey, Rich, you're going to have a great season. Yeah. But you are going to get absolutely smoked by an underdog in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Or would you rather have that? Or would you rather have just lost in overtime to Ohio State and not made it?
Never.
Oh, no.
In a million years.
He would
years.
Take the Ohio State. I know. No. That's Rich.
Maybe. Like I said, that whole entire month leading up to the Fiesta Bowl was exciting. In the same way that the Celtics gave you a week of excitement.
What was it for? Nothing.
I mean,
it was for nothing.
I guess a meteor could hit the planet and destroy us
all,
too.
This is a great example.
To quote Conor Roy, it's all, I mean, Roman Roy, it's all BS.
That's right.
Nothing matters.
It's like playing Powerball.
And he seems to be a perfect guy to
very
to emulate.
Rational human being.
Yeah, licking cheese. And, all right.
That was you get really all the numbers, though. But you don't get the mega number.
We promise no spoilers.
It was, all right. I don't know, man.
Okay. Let's take a break. Overreaction Tuesday coming up. Chris Brockman's got that. Hour number three, Alan Sepinwall on the Succession finale and the Ted Lasso finale that's about to hit right here on Roku. All right. We were off Monday.
We weren't here.
So it's time to overreact.
Let's do it.
Top of the week, Overreaction Tuesday.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Tuesday.
Ah, very good. All right. What do you got?
All right. Let's quickie run through this here. Not much happening in the NFL world.
But there's still stuff to overreact to.
But we heard from Mike Florio at the top of the hour, 45 minutes ago.
The Raiders are done? Is that your overreaction?
Someone not named Jimmy G will start week one for the Raiders.
No, I think the autumn wind is a Jimmy G, and I'm just wondering if the Raiders put in an addendum, as Mike said, addendum G. Yeah. So that's his new nickname, not Jimmy G, but addendum G. If he doesn't start, he's addendum G. If he starts, he's Jimmy G.
Sure.
I'm just wondering if there's some questions about him being able to answer the bell as the Raiders quarterback, to the point the Raiders reached out to their legal staff.
Hey, add this.
Hey, whatever you're being paid by the hour, it's a couple hours of your work. Let's get us a little window out.
Add that in.
Does the chicken ranch do the same thing?
Oh. I got an addendum, but I'm not going to say.
That's the question. But I think, by the way, you have to consult your doctor before that addendum.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah,
chickens are clutch.
So I believe this is going to be about nothing. That he will start.
Really?
If you're looking for anything totally crazy, like I said, it's not Brady.
Ah, come on.
It's not.
It's good for business, like Mike said.
It's Trey Lance. That's what I'm thinking.
For what? Like a conditional three? Who the hell knows?
Who the hell knows? Hey. I have no idea. That's the one, because he can't answer the bell. Training camp's an issue. That's the deal. And they can't quit each other. Trey Lance and Garoppolo are destined to be in the same quarterback room. Well, that's a plan B. Not Brady's not. That's absurd.
Why is it absurd?
Because it's absurd. It's absurd.
What do you mean?
It's absurd. He's not going to go move to Nevada, become a quarterback. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, it'd be cool, though.
Not going to happen. Right? Not going to happen. He wants to own the Raiders, not play for them.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
TB12 Casino, I already see.
And again, if the whole concept is that he signs the paperwork to become a minority owner in the Raiders, and for him to then stop being a minority owner and become the quarterback of the Raiders, he needs unanimous consent from the NFL ownership. I know an owner in Denver, Kansas City, and Los Angeles will be like, you know what? I don't consent. I don't like the idea. I don't consent at all. That's a shame. What else, Chris?
Okay, I was reading what Tyreek Hill was saying about Jaylen Waddle, how he's an all-pro, but nobody knows it.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at their stats. You know they combined for 3,000 yards and 15
insane.
Touchdowns?
Oh, yeah.
I think if Tua's healthy all season, top three MVP candidate.
Well, I think it's possible. Sure. That's not you can't sit here in this league and say that's insane. There's no way. Oh, there's a way. that kid was pretty damn special in college. And then when he was healthy last year, they were winging it around. Nice. And I'm telling you, though, I'm going to zig a little bit here if you're zagging or vice versa. Vic Fangio being named the defensive coordinator there, if it saves them a touchdown to a touchdown and a half, and that offense shows up the way that we expect it to, the Dolphins are really the team that everyone's sleeping on. And yes, sleeping on, because we're all talking about the Jets and the Bills and who they're dating at quarterback, and then what they're doing against each other and how they're building to try and collide and first Monday night of the season. And the Patriots are not in this mix anymore. And oh, by the way, there's the Dolphins. Certainly since everybody who plays in the state of Florida makes the championship round these days.
Apparently.
So
why not the Miami?
Why not the Miami? Correct. What else you got over there, Chris?
You see who's calling DeAndre Hopkins?
No.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I thought you meant Rich Paul.
Oh, no. Rich Paul's right.
The Clutch Sports is signed him. This just in.
Could be a Browns reunion. I don't know. But I think Deshaun Watson's going to be a Pro Bowler. Browns in the playoff hunt this year.
Pro Bowler as in voted in, or he gets to go because he didn't make the playoffs and everybody else suddenly has a sore foot, a sore hangnail, and they're not going to Vegas to throw footballs at moving targets.
Voted in. Top three.
No. Overreaction.
I think we're sleeping on the Browns.
We may be sleeping on the Browns. That, again, my top five coming out of the draft. Biggest mysteries. Post-draft. Post-free agency. Entering the football season in the summer was, what are the Browns going to look like? I'm with you on that. But Watson beating out Mahomes and Herbert and Rodgers and Allen for a spot at the Pro Bowl. You just mentioned Tua could be a top three MVP candidate. That's a tall order. So I'll call that an overreaction, but the Browns doing very well this year is not one. How's that? And I understand they have to pray. Watson's got to play like one for the Browns to do well.
Yes, he does.
I'm just going to split that baby right here and say no. I'll overreact on that.
Take a D-hop. That'd be nice.
Stefanski kind of threw a little water on that today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Yes, let me just quickly call
that
up.
I saw yesterday that...
Let me quickly call that up because
Sean was making
the
calls.
NFL Network is terrific at this, sending stuff out from the desk, assignment desk. Amari Cooper should be ready for training camp as he gets the offseason core surgery. But he likes the... Andrew and his crew, meaning the front office... are always looking to improve the roster, but I'll just say I really like the room the way it is. I like our wide receiver room. I love the guys in there.
There you go.
So I won't comment other than say that I like our roster is what he says. I mean,
what's not to like about D-Hop? Speaking of, D-Hop's going to have a bigger impact on whatever his new team is than any wide receiver in any new spot.
Oh, wow. I'll go Odell in Baltimore. How does that sound? Yeah. How about that?
A guy who hasn't played in 2 years?
How about Odell with Lamar? Let's go.
Need to see it.
I know. But that's where I'm going. Who are the other wide receivers in a new spot?
I don't know. Any rookie? I just wanted to go. I didn't want to go. Just say he's going to be better than Odell. But, you know, any rookie or
Zay Flowers and Odell in Baltimore. Let's see what that happens. Could we all think Baltimore's just going to be the same old, same old? We had Harbaugh on Friday, who basically started talking about how, those inside dives might be out of the playbook.
Bears have a new receiver, you know.
Let's not sleep on DJ Moore in Chicago.
Yeah.
Jackson Smith and Jigba in Seattle. Let's not sleep on that, too. You constantly are ready to just throw Seattle on the scrap heap. That was a one and done out of Geno. You got one more?
Yeah, yep. So we can switch music here. Mikey, just a quick NBA one. I mean, I can't stand Miami, but could they push Denver to 6 or 7 games?
Yes, you can. Sure. That's not an overreaction. How's that an overreaction? And I know that this might be spun in the Rocky Mountains as another voice not believing in them, but I do believe the Nuggets will win the series.
6 or 7?
But you can't. Really, you're going to sit here and say this team with everybody doing what they just did is going to get swept or 5 games?
I mean, these guys are going to keep shooting 50% from 3.
Until they do. until they do. The problem for the Heat is Jokic. He's unstoppable when you've got 7-footers to try and stop him.
Yeah.
Or agile 6'10 guys. Adebayo 6'9. What else they got? You're gonna run Cody Zeller at him?
I don't know.
What do you think? You think Michael Malone and Jokic are gonna, I mean,
how are UD's legs, DJ?
I think
can we get, can we get him out there?
To, I just you look at Cody Zeller and what are you gonna run him at him?
I put Kevin Love on him, you know, use that vet.
Yeah, I guess I love Kevin Love, you know that.
No one's gonna stop him, obviously, but you gotta throw
everything
in the kitchen.
Is a Dan Patrick phrase?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Hold on, under a 30-point triple-double.
But you can't sit here and say the Heat will never. The total overreaction.
No, they might win game one.
They can go to game 6 and 7.
Remember,
in the NBA Finals?
You said
that's crazy. You can't sit there and say
they've been there before. The Nuggets have not been there before.
Nah.
All right.
All right, last one, real quick. Succession.
Uh-oh.
Mount Rushmore drama.
I don't know about that. You could say it's not even a Mount Rushmore drama for HBO. I mean, you could go Sopranos, Wire, Game of Thrones.
Entourage. Boom.
But that's not a drama.
Not drama.
Well, there was drama
there
on
was
there.
Drama was, on
yeah.
the show.
Oz.
Johnny drama.
That's, I mean, don't sleep on Oz, man, for
that's
HBO.
True.
But
Oz,
Succession is definitely entered the conversation. It's entered the chat as a stupendous program. Not a huge fan of the plot twist at the end, which we'll discuss in hour number 3 with Alan Sepinwall, the television critic of Rolling Stone. Thank you for that, Chris.
You're welcome.
Dick Gaskett's going out, guys.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
And he's down three. He's down a set.
I was just going to say,
it's two games. So it's 2-1, and he's down 3-0. 3-love in the fourth set. By the way, we're referring to Richard Gasquet, the French player. But we refer to him here as Dick Gaskett.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.